You agree with me? It'd be nice to have mighty works flow. Amen. Amen. We would like that to happen. Amen. And Jesus spoke words of faith. Believe? You do. And when I go to the Father and send the Holy Spirit, it all will happen. And so we want those words of Jesus, words of faith, to materialize and not us standing in the way. Am I correct? Amen. And he marveled. He marveled. What was he marveling? He could do no mighty work there. His own kampong. He could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. So, what did he do next? Then he went about the villages in a circuit, doing what? Teaching. Hence, the cure to unbelief is teaching. It's like a vaccination. You know that rabies thing that is going around? Vaccinate. Alright. Don't take risks. Vaccinate. So, we have talked about revival and so on and so forth, and it's very exciting. What other churches are saying, even in Semenanjung and things, that there's the expectation of moves of God and stuff like that. Fine. Therefore, maybe by the grace of God, we prepare our hearts that whatever that we move with the Holy Spirit, rather than whatever moves, we become a lockdown. You know? And that's not very nice. We want to move with the Holy Spirit. So then he went about the villages in a circuit, teaching. And Reverend James Tan, when he was here, well, it's more than a month now, he's going to visit us again in the first week of September. But it will not be over a weekend. It will be like a Monday, Tuesday, or Tuesday, Wednesday thing. Because he's going to Cebu. So I persuaded him, since you can go to Cebu, please come to Kuching. You know? He was the one during the Rima module encouraged, get hold of whatever material you can get hold of and read it. Learn of it. And sometimes I feel that the Rima modules, as good as they are, we cramp so much into 4 nights of 12 hours, and after that, we end up in a daze, you know. We're in a daze. It takes us maybe 3 or 4 weeks to recover, you know. Then the next module comes, you know. And then the next man comes along, you know. So after about a year, I think you about days. High days, low days. Days, days, days. In other words, there is hardly any time to put it into practice. Hardly any time to seriously read the books. Some of our brothers and sisters in the office, they have the advantage, you know, because the office is there. So I think they cheat. They read the books before the module. Those of us who don't have the thing, on the night we are given the book. And you must finish it in 3 nights or 4 nights, because after that there's a test. You see? Good input, intensive, realistically, we must find time to unpack it. So after that encouragement, I thought, yeah, you know this thing about John 14:12, doing the works of Jesus? Let us just see what Kenneth Hagin had done. I found there are 15 MP3 messages from him on exactly the same topic. So I thought, why didn't I find it 2 years ago? Each message is about 50 minutes. So I bought, I don't know how many US dollars it is, I bought all 15 messages and listen to them. This is the pattern I've observed. In 15 messages, if not mistaken, if not 15, at least the vast majority, he taught from 3 passages, and in every message he quoted the 3 passages. How many of you are teachers?
Why not one, two, teachers? Okay. You repeat, right? You say what it is, then you explain, you say it again, then you explain, and then you say it again, and say, see you tomorrow. And tomorrow, and tomorrow comes, you recap what was said yesterday, and then you say it again, and again, and again. Kenneth Hagin did the same thing. Same passages 15 times. However, each message, he expands it a little bit, he weaves in a bit more. And he has the advantage that he's got gazillion tons of testimonies, real life testimonies, because by that time, he was ministering for something like 40 over years. So he has got any kind and every kind of testimony to back up what he's teaching. So, I don't have that many testimonies. I don't have ministry of 40 over years, and I'm not Kenneth Hagin, right? But I learned the style. He says ministry works can happen in two fashions. One is because of the anointing. The anointing, the Spirit is present, and so the Spirit moves. You hear what the Spirit is saying, you just repeat, you just follow instructions, and things happen. He says, but before he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he says before he became Pentecostal, he was Baptist. And in the Baptist church, where he was, they don't believe in speaking in tongues. So he had to minister, but he was healed miraculously, so he knew that there is power in the Word of God. So before he learned to speak in tongues, all he had was belief in what the Word says. By his stripes, you are healed. It's a promise. No speaking in tongues. It's a promise. He was bedfast. He's dying. He's got an incurable disease. So it's a matter of time before the 16-year-old kicks the bucket. But God intervened with Bible verses that he could believe. Amen. So he believed and he was healed. That's before he understood anything about speaking in tongues and baptism of the Holy Spirit or power. So he believed. So, when he recovered and as a young man, he went ministering. He was a young pastor in the Baptist churches. So he taught the people the Word of God. The people believed the Word and healing came about. Amen. Under the anointing, more things happen. When the anointing was not yet manifesting, things can still happen by teaching the Word of God. But what it also means is the people on the receiving end must have a heart to believe. Because if there's unbelief, we also pengsan. It does not work. Amen. So, he says, there are times when it's just dry. You just don't feel anything. You feel it. You don't even have the energy to stand up. You just, like, it's not going to work. But he remained faithful. He just declared the Word. The Word carried the power. He did not sense anything. There was no prompting. No angelic something. In fact, you feel like you should just go home. But miracles still happen. Because of belief in the Word. So brothers and sisters in Christ, the Word and the anointing. But without the Word, you have difficulty with the anointing. Amen? Amen. Hence, all the encouragement that we develop, our devotional time, Bible reading, marking, and so on and so forth, memorizing text, being familiar with text, these are absolutely necessary. Meditating and so on. Because, you see, we cannot remain infants. This is not insult, right? We cannot remain just at this level. We all grow older. You know, those who are not married, they get married. You know, and then they have children, you know, and they become gray-haired like me. Then what do you teach your grandchild if you don't read? don't understand and have difficulty with believing. The pressure that that generation will receive will be more severe than our generation. Because the world will get more corrupt, the world will get darker. The church and the saints will shine brighter. But that generation must first come to believe our light in them in the first place. Amen? And we better make sure that our lights are shining before we can expect the generation after us to have their lights shining. Am I correct? Amen. Oh, right, better change channel. So teaching because of unbelief. Therefore, we can summarize that where there was success in the ministry of Jesus Christ, it was as a result of Him teaching and preaching. This is what Matthew 9:35 says. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. In Nazareth, He preached, He declared, He proclaimed, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." It's a proclamation. Right? They didn't accept it. It was unbelief. So He would have to go and unpack all that and do teaching. Who was saying what? Why was Isaiah saying this? What was the inspiration at the time? You get what I'm trying to say? So He was teaching in the synagogues, but at the same time He was preaching that proclamation of good news. He is the bearer of good news. This is the season of good news. Blind, captive, set free. Good news for the poor in spirit and so on and so forth. Amen. So He taught, He preached, then He healed. Hagin is very emphatic on this. When we do go about doing the works of Jesus, please do not put healing top. Because Jesus did not put healing at the top. He put teaching at the top. So I'm doing the works of Jesus today. I qualify. Amen. Man, that was such a consolation, you know. When I realized this, I thought, oh man, be faithful in teaching in your calling. Amen. The calling of Moses Young last week, he's different. He's an evangelist. Right? But he's also a man after the Holy Spirit. So there are parts of what he says is prophetic in nature. It is a knowing. Amen. The other part was very evangelistic. Gives you lots of testimonies. And I'm challenging you to believe. Amen. We're doing the testimonies, increasing faith. We see the pattern of Jesus doing this also. Maybe in subsequent Sundays. We'll try and go through some of this so that we can recognize the pattern. Then it's easier for us to work with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because we know different ways that He does things. So, Jesus went teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing. That means the teaching and the preaching was effective. Faith arose. People believed. The miracles begin to flow. Amen. So, quite emphatic. Don't turn it the other way around. Alright? We must know our scriptures. And in the way we minister also. Don't be too quick. I know. Lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. But be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Maybe that's not the process for that time. You may have to spend more time talking to them, ministering them, teaching them, guiding them first. Setting it up before that one happens. And you find that Jesus seldom ministered in the same way everywhere. It was different. Because the people are different, their conditions are different, their backgrounds are different. Amen. So there's a big variety. And since there's a big variety and the Holy Spirit was behind all those varieties as He ministered to them, we must be open to the understanding that the Lord ministered in varieties. Amen. Alright. Wow. Unbelief in Greek is called apistia. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Right? And in Strong Concordance, G570, that's unbelief. Unbelief is a want of trust or faith. In other words, if I'm saying something expecting you to believe and trust, if that is so, I am now wanting trust and faith. But if it's not forthcoming, then you are in unbelief. You see the illustration? In other words, to believe something, something has been proposed or declared or said, and that something then expects a response. And the response should be trust or faith. If that's not forthcoming, then that situation is unbelief. So the proposal is not taken. So whatever the proposal is supposed to do or manifest doesn't happen. Why? Because, you know, the trigger is not there. Right? Or it can be said to be unfaithfulness or faithlessness. A person betraying a trust. Almost like husband and wife thing. The relationship continues to be healthy and good, beautiful things happening because there is faith and trust. Once the trust or faith is betrayed, then things begin to crumble. Right? Therefore, if we say that we believe and Jesus is Lord of all, He is my master, He is my Lord, He blesses me. Therefore, if I say that, I must also be equally able to say all other things about Him and not just certain things. I believe in Him because He gives me monetary breakthroughs. But if my son has a fever, I don't think my God will heal. My God heal fevers. After otherwise, I see I heal fevers. Then the GP no business bar. You know. So no. I struggle with some of those things too, because don't you think it's so much easier? You know, bring a child, go and see the clinic, especially you know the doctor by first name. My doctor is Peter Ting. You know, you know him by first name. You call him up. You accept my phone call. And my son is not well. That it seems to be so much easier than, let's quieten our hearts and draw favor from God and lay hands and believe. Sometimes babies immediately stop crying. Sometimes they don't immediately stop crying. They might cry, but they stop in 5 minutes, whatever it is. But you do get results. But you need to have the confidence and the trust in the Lord. I would recommend that we do that. Then if you have to bring the child to the clinic, by all means do so. Rather than bring the child to the clinic and never pray or lay hands on your own child in the first place. Amen. This is very real. I failed many times. I got 3 boys. I can tell you how many times I failed with them. But if I was to do it all over again, that's what I would do. Amen. Because otherwise, I deny myself. I cheat. I lie to myself. I say I trust him, but in fact, I don't. Right? Not? And here I am standing in front of you, fully qualified to tell you to abandon unbelief. And yet I'm a victim of it. Amen. So, what does that mean? It means God is very realistic. God is no respecter of persons. Quickly. Mark 6, where we read just now. And he marveled because of their unbelief. What was their unbelief? Unbelief was shown in opposition to the gospel. This thing sounds so good, but Joseph's family. This is so good. Moses Young. You know Moses Young? Liam. This thing is so good. Hence, it doesn't matter. If our hearts are open, we can receive it. Amen. So, we have to check our hearts. Have we come to nitpick sour, sweet, salty, tall, short, dark, fair? Good luck to you. Hello? Romans 3:3, for what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? We're talking about the Jews. If God is so gracious in dealing with sin matter, what happens if some Jews don't believe? Don't believe. It doesn't change the goodness of God. Amen. So their unbelief was shown in withholding belief in divine power or in the promises of God or in the divine mission of Jesus. That can also happen. That's why we have unbelieving believers. They believe in Jesus, but they do not believe in the divine power. They believe in a divine only available to some, selectively. They believe that Jesus is a good philosopher, a good teacher, but they do not believe in the divine mission of Jesus to save mankind. Hebrews 4:2. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Again, shown in withholding belief. Brothers and sisters, check, use this clause, check our heart. I can tell you, human beings, of which I am one, if I'm guilty, this one I'm guilty, I just want to share my testimony with you. Usually, we tahan one, no? Why not? Tahan, especially the men. No? Tahan. You okay? Okay. I got fever, like, no, it's okay. It will go away. Oh, how's business? Okay. Actually, it's okay, no? But we usually tahan, sampai throw the ayo, I think I know. But if we have, and I think the reason for that, I'll be honest, I think, the reason for that relationship of time spent with the one whom we say we love is actually very short and very superficial. The God whom we say we love, whom we want to relate to, actually, we don't really understand Him. Actually, the time that we spend with Him is so little, that's why we actually don't know Him. Hence, we then turn around and say, hey, He is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. From where does my help come from? From Him. There, from the hill. I know Him. He's my strong fortress. He's my tower. He's my defender. He's my healer. Really? It has to come from here. When all those things are bedded down and we know, the fever has problem coming to affect you in the first place. Every time we are in trouble means the enemy got through. Our defenses were down. Amen. This is not to say, oh, wow, you, I see, fail, oh, I'm so smart. Hey, so I'm among the chief failures. But it's also my duty here to share with you. That actually we shortchange ourselves because we shortchange that which we, and that's to love Him. Because He loves us so. Amen. And now, unbelief. Dealing with this unbelief matter. Overcome unbelief. How? Be partakers of Christ. Hear His voice daily, like the song just now. Today. Hear His voice daily. And what? And believe. Hear His voice daily. How? You got to read. You got to spend time with Him. Hear His voice daily, and as you hear Him daily, believe daily. Rejoice in that word for the day. Tomorrow, new word. We are not living with manna. Manna, collect today, tomorrow, new collection. Only a weekend you collect for 2 days. But here we don't have manna. We have Christ, and He says His word is life. Hebrews 3:12-19. Beware, brethren, lest there be in you, in any of you, an evil heart of unbelief. Whoa. An evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. anybody who's thinking of leaving Jesus Christ, leaving, embracing another religion and so on and so forth, I would imagine that they never knew Jesus Christ in the first place. If they did know Jesus Christ, we wonder what's happening. However, the warning here is the same. An evil heart of unbelief. That's why depart from the living God. There was no belief. The no belief is classified as an evil heart of unbelief, which is basically no belief. So you depart. But instead of that, exhort, encourage one another. How often? Daily. Encourage one another daily. When it is called today. Yesterday was Sarawak Day. So yesterday we say, hey, Sarawak Day. So that was yesterday. So today is today. Tomorrow, when tomorrow comes, tomorrow becomes today. And the Tuesday comes, we'll call Tuesday today. Exhort one another daily when it is called today. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Meaning, have his word fresh. Don't let sin enter and you with your carnal justification, weep here, weep there, weep there. But actually you are trying because sin has captured you. I can see it, Elder, I love you, all right? And you guys love me too, right? But these are challenging words. Challenging words. Amen. Encourage one another daily when it's called today, so that you're not hardened. Because when we're out of fellowship, when we no longer have the word, our mind plays tricks, all the other stuff that we read and so on and so forth, the carnality, hey, these things are very, very real. When the church first started, many people came. You have remained. But there are some people who also left a long time ago. Some of them had gone back to their old ways, not holy at all. Some had gone into trouble with the law. They heard exactly the same message of grace that all of us were so excited about. Many of us continue. You are continuing on the journey. However, many left. And I find them not in nice places at all. Amen. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. In other words, a journey thing is not a one-off thing. The day I hold fast to Jesus Christ, I hold Him until the end and He receives me in heaven. Amen. I hold Him. I hold Him. I don't let go of Him. I don't let go of Him because it's to my own peril. He is my salvation. Amen. He is my salvation. He is my Savior. You know, if you are in trouble and you're sinking or dying, whatever, and you got a Savior, you hang on, man. That's why it's called Savior. Right? You don't be too smart to let Him go. Because in this life, there are very strange tides and currents. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your heart in the rebellion. See, today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Don't be like Israel. Are you Egypt? Like Egypt, Bagusa. Egypt, 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 Egypt. God says, Canaan. No, Egypt, Egypt. You have a conflict with God. My recommendation is don't get into conflict with God because He always wins. He always wins. You know, and He being God, He can do anything. To that generation, okay, if that being your choice, you perish in the wilderness. I'll work with the generation after you. Can we afford that? We can't afford that. If there is today, hear His voice, don't harden your heart as in the rebellion. Don't give carnal justification, any other justification, unholy justifications. If all of them are humanistic, whatever it is, just drop it in humility. Amen. Verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief.